Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let me also pray briefly. May Father, please help me. I long to be useful to your people now. Help me speak clearly in ways that will be understandable to them. And I pray that you help them to listen well and accept your word and be willing to obey. Thank you in the name of Christ. Amen. And thank you for inviting me again. I want to speak to you about what the Bible teaches about clothing. The elders did not put me up to this. It was completely of my own accord. And not because I'm addressing any specific issue in this church, no. It's something we sometimes speak about in our own church. But I do also see Christians and their daughters in the malls. So I do think this will be helpful to you as well. So it's a theology of clothing. That's what I'm calling it. What has God said about clothing? Two points only, with a lot of sub-points under them. Firstly, what is the purpose of clothing? And then secondly, how does God want us, his people, to dress? Those are the two main points that I want to deal with. So getting right into it, the purpose of clothing, I want to mention four things that I think we can see in the scriptures that we can understand to be the purpose of why clothing exists. Firstly, in Genesis 3, verse 7, we see the first one. The first purpose of clothing is to cover nakedness. In Genesis 3, verse 7, then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. They realized that they were naked after they had sinned, and they created the first set of clothing ever to exist on the earth, made of fig leaves. Why did they feel the need to cover up? I think it's because, as we know, after they had sinned, being naked in public had become shameful. They felt shame. And even though it was still just the two of them, Adam and Eve, in the garden, they will now need to reassure one another that they were safe with each other as husband and wife. But there was now a sense of shame with being naked in public, and they felt they needed to cover up. And the reason for this sense of shame, really, if you think about it, is because as sinners, we all know, they knew this, that if other sinners saw you naked, one of two things will happen. Maybe they will not like what they see and they'll be disgusted and ridicule you. Or they might like what they see and lust after you, or be jealous that someone they care about might lust after you. And therefore, nakedness in public among sinners had become inappropriate, something that needed to be covered after the fall. And since that time, human beings have always felt the need naturally to cover themselves up as soon as they grow out of the age of innocence in childhood. And what did God think of this? Of clothing for the purpose of covering nakedness? He clearly agreed with it in verse 21. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. He killed some animals and created more durable clothing for them to cover their nakedness. And God agrees with the concept of covering your nakedness when you are among other people. And the devil is still working very hard to uncover nakedness in public. The clear application from this then, and before I move to the second purpose of clothing, is dress in a manner as to cover your nakedness, not to uncover it. Amen. And just a side note here for those who are tempted towards going vegan, just realize here that God killed the first animal to benefit human beings. If you think something like that is unethical, don't try to be more ethical than God. It's blasphemous. The second purpose of clothing, that was a side note, just for free. The second purpose of clothing is to protect the body. After the fall, the human body will now be vulnerable to cold, to heat, to injuries, and they needed to protect themselves. And clothing was also for that purpose. And God clearly agrees with that purpose as well, using clothing to protect the body. For example, he speaks of his care over Israel when he led them out of Egypt into Canaan. In Deuteronomy 29 verse 5, he says, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn off your feet. He protected their clothing so that their clothing will be for protecting their bodies when they traveled through the deserts. The purpose of clothing is to cover nakedness and protect the body. So you are warm in winter and you don't overheat in summer. Use clothing for that purpose. Number three, we see clothing in the scriptures also being used to increase beauty. The third purpose of clothing is to increase beauty. And we know this. Most people will choose the kinds of clothes that improve how they look. And God is okay with this as well. For example, in Ezekiel 16, he uses a metaphor of dressing up a bride to make it beautiful for his relationship with Israel and how he cares for Israel. If I just read for you this long passage in Ezekiel 16 from verse 3, thus says the Lord, am God to Jerusalem, your region and your birth are of the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. And as for your birth, on the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, nor wrapped with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling cloths. Nor I pitied you to do any of these things to you out of compassion for you. But you were cast out on the open field, for you were abhorred on the day that you were born. And when I passed by you and saw you wallowing in your blood, I said to you, in your blood, live. I said to you, in your blood, live. I made you flourish like a plant of the field, and you grew up and became tall and arrived at full adornment. Your breasts were formed and your hair had grown, yet you were naked and bare. When I passed by you again and saw you, behold, you were the age for love, and I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I made my vow to you and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord God, and you became mine. Then I bathed you with water and washed off your blood from you and anointed you with oil. I clothed you also with embroidered cloth and shod you with fine leather. I wrapped you in fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments and put bracelets on your wrists and a chain on your neck. And I put a ring on your nose and earrings in your ears and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was of fine linen and silk and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour and honey and oil. You grew exceedingly beautiful. You grew exceedingly beautiful. He had clothed this bride of his. He had clothed Israel so that she became exceedingly beautiful and advanced to royalty. And your renown went forth among the nations because of your beauty. For it was perfect through the splendor that I had bestowed on you, declares the Lord. So God, as a loving and generous groom, clothes his bride with the best clothing and jewelry for the purpose of increasing her beauty. It is acceptable to God that you dress in a way that makes you more beautiful, more handsome. This is the third purpose of clothing. So dress to cover your nakedness, dress to protect your body, dress also to increase your beauty and your handsomeness. Amen. The fourth purpose of clothing is identification. So people choose the clothes they wear so that they let others know who they are, such as uniforms or cultural clothing. This is the fourth purpose we see for clothing, so that you can be identified. An example of this from Scripture is in Exodus 28, when God instructed Moses about the clothing for priests, the uniform for priests. In Exodus 28, verse 2, "And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty." There's that purpose again, to increase beauty. The clothing for priests were to make them glorious and beautiful in the eyes of the people. Verse 3, "You shall speak to all the skillful, whom I have filled with a spirit of skill, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him for the priesthood." There's this purpose, so that he can be identified as a priest, so that he can be dressed appropriately in a way that's different to other Israelites. He can be consecrated for the priesthood. The clothing was also for that purpose. In verse 4, "These are the garments that you shall make: a breastpiece, an ephod, a robe, a coat of checker work, a turban, and a sash. They shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons to serve me as priests." The purpose of these garments were to identify Aaron and his sons as priests in Israel. And we still see people do this. Police officers have a uniform. Nurses and doctors have some kind of uniform, so that they can be identified with their clothing. Clothing is used for identification. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 10, we see a negative form of identification. When Solomon wrote this proverb, you could identify a prostitute by the way she was dressed. You know, so the clothing they chose identified them for purposes of the work they were trying to do. He says, for example, in verse 10, Proverbs chapter 7, "And behold, the woman meets him dressed as a prostitute." You could identify a woman of the night by the way she dressed. And you still can today. And just obvious application here: avoid dressing in a manner that will get you confused with a prostitute. If at night your car broke down on Point Road and you needed to walk to the next garage, would you not get confused with one of the women of the night on Point Road? It's a good question to ask when you choose what to wear. Amen. And just a side note here, notice in verse 3, you shall speak to all the skillful whom I have filled with a spirit of skill. And God had given a spirit of skill for fashion design. There's a gift for fashion design, and I think we must pray that the Lord increases this gift in our day, so that more and more Christians are into fashion design and can design clothing that's appropriate for Christians. There were some skillful people in Israel whom he had filled with the spirit of skill to make garments. Give us this gift in our day, Lord. Amen. So the four purposes of clothing I've identified for you, and the application thereof: dress in a manner that covers nakedness, not that reveals it. Dress to protect your body. Dress to improve your beauty. This is the will of the Lord for men as well. And dress in a way that properly identifies you as a Christian and a godly person. And now for my second point, How does God want his people to dress? How does he want us to be identified by our clothing? And for this now, I want us to spend a bit of time in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Just two verses there, verse 9 and 10, to answer this question. I have, 8 answers here for how God wants his people to dress from these two verses. Verse 9, 1 Timothy 2. Likewise also, that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Number one, adorn yourself. God wants you to adorn yourself. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves. And the word means to order something, to arrange something. It's the will of God that you prepare yourself when you go out in public. You arrange your clothing. You arrange the way you look. You put things in order before you appear and before other people. This is something that God says women should do this. And I will argue men as well. You should make some effort to adorn yourself, to look good. Remember, in Matthew 6, when Jesus was talking about fasting, he says the Pharisees go out in a way that makes people see that they are fasting. And then he says his disciples should wash their face and put ointment on their hair. You should wash your face before you go out in public. And you should do something about your hair. Do something about your clothing. Something about your face, ladies, when you go out in public. So the first thing we see here, it is the will of God that you adorn yourself. Make yourself look presentable before going out. Look good, says the Lord. Amen. Secondly, he says they should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, in respectable clothing. Again, the word here means well-ordered, properly organized. It drives towards clothing that's suited to the occasion, appropriate clothing for the occasion you are going to and for the event you are attending. So adorn yourself in clothing that is appropriate for the situation. There's clothing that's appropriate for going to bed, sleep time, which is not appropriate for going to work or going to school, and vice versa. There's clothing that's appropriate for when you are alone with your spouse, and you must wear that clothing when you're alone with your spouse, which is very inappropriate when you are going out in public, and vice versa. There's clothing that's suited to a godly woman who is advanced in years and a godly woman who is younger in age. The idea here is that dress in a manner that is appropriate for where you are going and for who you are. And be appropriate. Dress in respectable clothing that is suited to your status in life and the event that you are attending. Amen. And then he adds, with modesty. Adorn yourself in respectable clothing with modesty. The Greek word here originally carried the idea of a sense of shame. Not being ashamed of your body or your clothing, but a sense of shame in that something evil, something inappropriate might arise from the way you look, from the way you dress. And being ashamed that anyone should be caused to stumble because of the way you are dressed. That's the sense of the word modesty when it was first written here. And so your clothing should not bring shame to yourself, to your husband, to your church, to Christ. There must be no shame that arises from the way you are dressed. I think he has in mind the shame of being seductive. Christians should never dress to be sexy. Never. Except with your spouse alone. A sense of shame in dressing in a way that shows off your wealth. We should avoid that. A sense of shame in dressing in a manner that reveals a rebellious spirit. This is a woman who will not be ruled, who will not submit to a husband, who will not submit to a father. There are ways of dressing that reveal a rebellious spirit. A sense of shame in being improper and indecent in the way you look. So when he says, adorn yourself in respectable clothing with modesty, he means with clothing that avoids this sense of shame. Do not cause shame, but be modest and well covered, dressed appropriately as a Christian. And then he adds, fourthly, with self-control. Likewise, also that women should adorn themselves in respectable clothing with modesty and self-control. Self-control so that you choose the kinds of clothes that fit in with the situation you are in, that are proper and appropriate for what you are doing, for where you are going, and so forth. He says self-control here because there's a need to restrain yourself when you choose your clothing. A need to restrain yourself, for example, from a desire to attract attention to yourself by the way you dress. Restrain that. Have self-control over the desire for attention from other people. Restrain yourself from the desire to impress others with your wealth when you choose what to wear. Have self-control over the desire for the inappropriate interests of men when you choose your clothing. Control the desire to attract the attention of men inappropriately. Fifthly, he adds, not with braided hair. He doesn't have an issue with braids here, but there was a specific situation, a specific way they braided their hair here, which was inappropriate. It was a kind of braiding that was designed to draw attention. If a lady braided in this manner walked into this church, your heads will all turn towards her. He's forbidding that kind of braiding. They will braid their hair upwards and put precious stones in gold and silver in the hair, or gold netting in their hair. It was a way to show off their wealth and call attention to themselves. So he's saying women should not wear their hair in a manner that draws the attention of others from what they are meant to be doing at church, from their wives to themselves, or in a manner that shows off their wealth. So be modest with how you wear your hair as well. Number six, he adds, and not with gold or pearls. Again, he's not forbidding the use of gold altogether or of any kind of jewelry. But again, it was an excessive way of wearing jewelry. Do not wear your whole jewelry box at once. It's inappropriate. You can use some jewelry, but not in a way that shows off how wealthy you are. And at this time, the women that wore a lot of gold and a lot of pearls were expensive prostitutes. It was a way of showing off how successful they were in their trade, and how expensive they were, and they would wear a lot of jewelry on themselves, but it was always seen as inappropriate for a decent, respectable woman to wear a lot of jewelry. And I think it still is now. You know, so and be modest and self-controlled in how much jewelry you wear. And he adds specifically number seven, not with costly attire. In those days, it was easy to see expensive clothing versus cheap clothing. It's not so easy now. But for example, in those times, dye was expensive. You know, to wear something red or purple was an indication of the wealth you had, you could have afford that kind of expensive dye. Not so easy now, but there are still ways of showing off wealth in the selection of clothing. And you know how to do that when you really want to do it. Avoid it, is the word of God. Be modest in the type of clothing you select. And then lastly, number 8, he says in verse 10, but with proper, or with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. The antidote for sinning in the way you dress is to focus on your character, to focus on good works, instead of focusing on drawing attention to yourself or elevating your status with your clothing. Focus on developing godly character. Focus on good works, and you'll often find that you don't have an issue so much with selecting what you wear. When your heart is in the right place, your clothing will be proper. Sinning in the way you dress is always an indication of issues in the heart. It's always an indication of an issue in the heart. If you work on that, and you are filled with the Spirit, and you are walking in the Spirit, and you saturate yourself with the Word of God, quite often it will also come out in the type of clothing that you choose. For example, in verse 11 and 12 here, he says women should be learning the Word of God quietly with all submissiveness. So a heart that is eager to learn God's Word, to know what the Lord has said, to apply what the Lord has said to your life, that's the heart that overcomes the sins of clothing. A heart that is submissive, and that's what he speaks about in verse 12. Women should be submissive, submissive to your husbands, submissive to the elders, submissive to your fathers if you're still young. And if the heart is like that, if you are focused on developing those good works, those virtues, then you will quite easily overcome the temptation to dress inappropriately, and your dress will always glorify the Lord instead of bringing disgrace and shame to the gospel. Amen. So to summarize, and the purpose of clothing, we saw 4 things. It is firstly to cover nakedness, dress in a way that covers it. Protect your body. Increase your beauty. It is acceptable to God that you dress to look beautiful and be identifiable as a child of God in the manner in which you dress. And some specifics in how God wants his children to dress. Dress respectably. Adorn yourself. Make yourself look beautiful, but be appropriate and be modest in your selection of clothing. Show self-control over your desires in the choice of clothes that you wear, and focus on adorning yourself with good works. Focus on showing off good works. And just a closing point here. If the Bible is speaking about this, if the Lord judges it necessary to put this into his word, it's because it matters to him. It's an important thing. It's not a trifling matter how you choose to dress. It is important to God, and that's why he's put it into his word. And that gives me the right also to speak about it. I know there are some people who think it's improper for a man to give instructions to women on how to dress. Not so in the faith. If it's in the scriptures and we are teachers of the scriptures, we must teach this as well. So it's appropriate that we teach on these things. And it is okay for God to dictate. Not okay for me. It's not okay for me to dictate what kind of clothing you should wear. But it is for God, is it not? He is God, so he has the right to command his daughters on how to dress. And the issue here is about women mostly, because women are more tempted towards sinning in this area than men. You don't find this issue a lot with men. You do nowadays, but not as much as you do with women. Hence the focus on women in 1 Timothy 2. And I don't have time to go into this text for you, but maybe at home, read Isaiah chapter 3. There you will see how seriously God takes this. He threatens to judge rebellious women in Israel who were rebelling and indicating their rebellion in the way they were dressing. And he threatens very serious judgments on this. And so here as well, Christians must be obedient. Christian women must be obedient to the revelation of Scripture in the way they dress. It's not an optional matter. Lots of options in what you choose and so forth. But you must be modest. You must be respectable. You must adorn yourself in a way that brings glory to God. We are not at liberty to dress as the world does. As saints, as Christians, we must glorify the Lord and beautify the gospel by the way we dress. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you, our Father, for clear and practical instructions from your word in issues as detailed and specific as the clothing we choose to wear. We do see a lot of sin in this area in our day, Lord, even in the churches as well. And lusts are provoked, and people who are trying to fight the temptation find themselves struggling even in the house of God. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us overcome this and set a good example for unbelievers instead of following them in the fashions we choose. Help us to give a clear indication of being in control of our desires in the clothes we wear, in not being people who want to show off their wealth or show off their bodies with the clothes they choose, but in being people who are given to good works, who are in control of their passions, and who walk in the fear of God, and so set a good, solid example for our children and for others who see us. We thank you and we give you glory. In the name of Christ, amen.